You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, all about real estate with Ken and Jane. Today, Jane, we are going to discuss the role of the planning board plays in a township. And to help us break it down, we have with us as our guest, Steve Phillips. He's a member of the East Brunswick Planning Board. Steve, welcome to our show.
Welcome and thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So to get started, just give us your brief bio and how long you've been involved in the East Brunswick Planning Board.
There is a statute. I'm a member of the zoning board, so let's understand how I come to that. And there is a statute that somebody from the zoning board needs to be on the planning board as part of a statutory requirement. And there was an opportunity or an opening of somebody who had had that position about 2017, and they had to leave. They were moving out of town. So the call came up, would somebody on the zoning board be interested in being on the planning board? And I volunteered. I didn't know what I was doing that day, so I said stuck my hand. So I am now on the planning board, but my background before that was the zoning board.
Right. So if my math serves me correctly, you've been on the planning board then a total of 7 years, give or take, depending.
Yes, now that would be fair. Yes.
Fair, yeah.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. So I guess you've picked up quite a bit of additional knowledge in that time. And, you know, and being on both boards, I guess it's very useful because you get to see the differences and, you know, the subtleties of what the responsibility and role each board has and how they differ within the township.
Well, yeah, but the other important thing is that if the planning board is doing something, when anything they might do results in a zoning request, mm-hmm. I now have the background of why they were asking mm-hmm. in the first place for this variance, because I was on the planning board when that project first came before us. In the opposite of that, there are times that something becomes before the zoning board that goes back to the planning board because it takes on a new role inside of the application process. And I was there for the initial testimony that took place on the zoning board. So we've had instances in both cases where it's cross-reference of data and material.
Right. And then to even make it more interesting, there's the redevelopment committee in East Brunswick. So that plays an additional role because what they propose goes to the planning board, as I understand it, for approval and then to the council. So there's a lot of different boards with different roles in the town.
Yeah.
Yes, that's absolutely so.
Yeah. So let's start. So this is a general listener audience. So please explain what the role in general terms is of the planning board and you know, what its purpose is for the community.
The planning board is structured so that there are approximately 8 or 9 individuals who are volunteers from the town on the planning board, in addition to the mayor and one council member and the general manager of the town.
Okay.
So they've got 3 spots, and then the rest are all volunteers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And do you know if that's the same structure in all the municipalities in New Jersey, or could vary based on each town having its own specific ordinance on how the planning board is composed?
Well, there's some standards there, but the variances would be there are towns that are too small to have both the zoning and planning board. So they're combined.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. But as far as the towns that have both a planning and a zoning board, I don't imagine there's too much variation in structure from one town to another. But I'm only most familiar with the East Brunswick zoning and planning boards.
Yeah. I have a question. So as you mentioned, there's a 3 spot, which is the council, the mayor, and the manager, right? The
Well, one council member, correct?
Yeah.
And the council member changes over time.
Right? Yeah. How about the voting? Can they vote, the mayor and the council vote, or are they just observer for the board?
No, everybody who's there can vote.
Mm-hmm.
There are times, for example, where there may be a requirement for a recusal.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And where either for some reason they have some other reasons why they can't vote. They have interests in something or somebody in their family or some other reason why legitimately they can't vote. So they would abstain in any voting.
Mm-hmm.
But that would go for the members of the board regardless whether or not it's the mayor a council person or the business manager. Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah,
I see.
I must misunderstood because I thought the mayor normally don't vote. It's only like the board member vote. Maybe I just misunderstood.
No. Yes, but sometimes that's why the mayor has to be particularly careful because as a public figure, he does not want to present a situation where it appears he's biased about a particular application before he would vote on it.
Okay.
Right.
That would, you know, you don't want to present yourself with a potential for exposure that way.
Okay.
Right. So talking about, let's talk about some specific issues that the planning board addresses, like in a town like East Brunswick. I guess if there's a new development that's going to be proposed where a developer wants to acquire some land and, you know, subdivide it, that would be something that the planning board would come before the planning board?
Well, that's another interesting question. Most of the time, yes. But what happens is that the town doesn't ask people to come in with the development program. Normally, if somebody wants to look to buy a stretch of property, acreage, and they want to put up a development, they would go into the building department and apply with an application to do that.
Okay.
Once it gets inside the application and the application is deemed complete, in other words, all the questions that the town has regarding what the applicant wants to do is now submitted, then the application can be reviewed. They may decide that it needs to go to the planning board or it needs to go to the zoning board, depending on exactly what it is they're trying to do.
Can you give an example, like what kind of application would need to go to the planning board?
Or in the past, in general terms, what applications you've dealt with. Like this year, I looked a little bit on the website at the meeting minutes summaries. But if you could give an example about something in the recent year.
On Hart's Lane, there have been requests to put warehouses.
Right.
The warehouses that I'm talking past tense now because
they've been
approved and they're in construction or actually finished. Was where the old junkyards used to be.
Right.
And I'll give my age by saying I remember when Hart's Lane was a dirt road.
We know Hart's Lane very well.
I used to laugh in a meeting and say, wait, does that mean you're going to take away the 53 Buick I used to get parts from?
Yeah.
On the property.
Or maybe somebody drove in your family, right?
it's a joke, but the fact is that those are all the junkyards.
It used to be Giancola Junk, I think.
Well, and various people. Let's
without names. Yeah.
And it's interesting because then it gets into the whole situation of some of the other questions that have come up. Well, they have to have clean dirt. They got to remediate. They've got to repair damage that was done before. That's when they put the application in, Ken, and then it'll go through freehold soil conservation. It'll go through stream encroachments. It'll go through environmental issues. And each of those particular agencies has to sign off on it as part of the application process.
Yeah.
Right. And then what is planning? That's what I was trying to get at. So what is planning board's role in something like that? You mentioned that like the environmental, the freehold for the soil. So what does planning board have to approve or vote on? You just review it. You basically review it in the totality of the circumstances and make sure that all the boxes are checked and then look
and
at the
and authorities beyond our scope have reviewed this and are either okay with it or have offered their suggestions and changes. That's when the planning board would take a more accurate role, active role and say, okay, it looks to me like environment wants such and such. Are you prepared to do that? And you ask the applicant, you know, when he's before the board, is that okay with you? Will you comply with that? And so forth, so that we get a complete picture of exactly what it is that they're agreeing to.
I see. Okay. It's a lot of different entities involved in something, and you guys are like the overseer and the final say or
final approval.
Final approval. Okay.
Now we don't do that on our own. I know you have another question, but we don't do that on our own. We have a planning, and we have an engineering firm that are public companies that we hire on to take care of some of that specific work because you can't do that all in-house.
Yes.
Right. 100%. Like what about like the engineering and the stormwater control, the runoff, the, you know, if you're putting up a building, you're displacing, you know, soil. So you're going to have additional runoff concerns. You may need a stormwater retention basin.
And that's where the professional help that the board has will come in. They would work with the applicant before we ever see the plans.
Okay.
And they'll say you need to have X amount of stormwater management here. And based on, 5-year flood, 100-year flood, whatever the criteria are, in order for that to be built into the plan before the planning board ever sees it. Now, things may come up during the planning board meeting that make people scratch their heads and say, we need to go back to the drawing board on this.
Right. And that's something that a board member can question or request from the engineering firm and say, I don't think that's enough, or you're bound by whatever, as long as they comply with the ordinance and they say we have a stormwater basin that's sized appropriately based on it. Can you ask for more because you feel there's a need, or are you bound by the statute?
We've had a situation before us where there was a lot of concerns and complaints from neighbors about potential runoff. And so what we did was we said, okay, so what's the problem of just making the detention basin deeper? And if we can put 3 more feet in this detention basin, that would then change it from being a 100-year potential flood to a 400-year potential flood.
Right, that makes
sense.
And
that mitigates the chances that we'll have runoff from this property.
Right.
And the boards did do something like that. So that's where public input combined with concerns from neighbors can make a change in an application.
Okay, and that was something that was voted on and by the board, right? So the board could have been a disagreement among board members, but it's a majority vote, I guess, determines the
More than a majority.
You need more than a majority.
Yeah, for example, depending on what variance or what needs you have, you're not going to win 4-3.
Oh,
interesting. Okay. So you need, out of these 7 members, you might need five. Oh, okay. Interesting. Not a majority.
Wow, I learned something new.
Yeah, I learned a lot today. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we take a short break? We'll be right back after these messages.
Location, location, location. Yes, that's right. A 3-level building located directly on Route 18 in East Brunswick is for sale. A great opportunity to present your business and brand to more than 50,000 passing vehicles. Zoned highway commercial, this building is suitable for retail, service, and professional uses. To find out more, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. Prime office space on Route 18 is available for lease. This versatile layout features private offices, conference rooms, and workstations, with options to lease from 500 square feet to 2,800 square feet. Ideal for lawyers, accountants, and any professional service provider. Convenience extends beyond the premises with quick and direct access to major highways, including the New Jersey Turnpike, Route 1 and Route 130. To find out more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448.
You've got the questions. They've got the answers. It's All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Mueller. Now let's get back out to our hosts, Ken and Jane.
Welcome back to our show. We're joined today by Steve Phillips. He's a member of the East Brunswick Planning Board. So, Steve, just before the break, we were talking about how one of the actual decisions you had on making the retention basin deeper was influenced by some of the public and the neighbors' concerns about the runoff. And that leads up to my next question: how community members in the town, what rights they have, how do they get involved in the process? Maybe talk about how the planning board meetings, they're open public meetings, they're regularly scheduled and announced. And let's explore that.
The planning board meets the second and fourth Wednesday of every month unless there's nothing on the agenda.
Okay.
So assuming that we have an applicant or two or three, whatever that might be, on the agenda, that would then determine or result in us having a planning board meeting. There are times that there's no applications. And if too many applications come in, then it's the staff inside of the building department that would then space out the applications so you don't have too much in one night.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Yeah.
Because the board meets from 7 to 10. Now, everybody on the board, not everybody, but almost everybody, has a job to go to the following morning at 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they'll stretch the meetings out till 2 o'clock in the morning as a rule to get everybody done. The meeting's supposed to end at 10. If you're really close to the completion of an application, you'll extend beyond 10. But clearly, it's in the best interest of everybody to stay fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will generally try to say, okay, we'll have to continue this for another meeting, and then you arrange for another date to mm-hmm. have the applicant come back again.
Right.
Just for the general listener out there, the date Steve just mentioned is for East Brunswick. If you want to attend your own town planning board meeting, please go to the website of each township. They normally publish on the township website.
Right.
That's correct, Jane.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's correct. And now the opportunity for the public participation that I guess you have a certain order of the agenda for the different cases that come before the planning board. Then for each particular case matter, there's an opportunity for public comment and, you know, to voice their concern.
It's called opening it up to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen is, and if you have a very complex application, what you would generally do is we often do is if the applicant's got five witnesses, five experts or whatever,
yep.
and there's a very large number of people that are attending because of the interest that's been involved with the public, then we would have two of their witnesses appear, and then you'd open it up to the public to allow the public to ask questions of those two applicants, of those two experts.
Okay.
Only because it gets lost in the weeds if you wind up having five people get up, and then suddenly it all gets a little confusing. So this way here, it's fresh in the public's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two witnesses that you can question, asking it. Questions about anything that they said
mm-hmm.
during the course of their presentation to the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so you usually tend to give everybody an opportunity that way. And we never will end a public meeting where there is public without having opened it up to the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is a criteria.
Yeah. Do you have a time limit, each person, how long they can talk? Just for example, if I go there, it'll be a whole night long.
Yeah. Well, no, different. But some. Yeah. That, I think that question comes from some boards in town have a limit on it. So that's a good.
The town council has a limit of 5 minutes.
Okay, and then the school board has a limit of 3 minutes. Yeah.
But both of the boards do not have a limit. It's rarely the case that you want to ask somebody for a big hook to pull somebody off. When they get up to speak, they're the public. They have every right in the world to discuss their pros or cons of an application.
Do you get involved in situations with cell towers, or is that something that would go before the planning board as well as the zoning board? Or
zoning board.
Zoning board. Okay. So I was going to, yeah.
I have another question. Yeah. If someone, say, for example, they want to develop a religious building, right? I mean, but the zoning, the zoning of the property is R3 or kind, right? Do they go to the zoning board or do they go to the planning board?
They would generally go to the zoning board.
Zoning board, okay.
There are isolated cases where they go to the planning board.
Mm-hmm.
There's a case that went last year. I prefer not to discuss.
No, not, don't, no, don't, no, no.
Specific cases, but it was an institution that had an existing building and wanted to expand it.
Mm-hmm.
That went before the planning board.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times, for example, that a religious institution mm-hmm. wants to advance something.
Mm-hmm.
They would then go to the zoning board.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had cases on the zoning board where they want to expand the parking lot, or they want to do something else, or they want to put in an adjunct school.
Mm-hmm.
That would generally go back to the zoning board. And The fact is that the first realization is that all religious institutions are considered inherently beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they've already got 90% of the requirements necessary. 90 is just a norm.
Yeah. Number. Yeah.
That they've met in the criteria to be allowed to do what it is that they want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, right. That's interesting. Yeah. So, and then talking about the environmental, that one of the questions I had, which I think you answered partially, was how does the planning board address wetlands, floodplains, green spaces? I guess that's all part of your rely on the experts to provide you the documentation, and then you guys make an intelligent decision based on your collective decision based on the weighing all the circumstances.
That's true, but there's also other regional agencies that have oversight. For example, Freehold Soil happens to be for locally in East Brunswick. They have oversight over all major soil movement activity.
Right.
And if it looks like the application is going to create some significant issues that way, then they would voice their concerns. And so the applicants look at that and they realize, this is not going to work right. We need to go back to make sure that we can get past Freehold Soil before we wind up getting turned down by an agency that we, can't win. Similarly, environmental commissions and environmental issues. Anytime you have anything with this, gray soil or contaminated soil, the applicant has to meet the standards required in order to make that workable.
Right. And I guess the same would apply to wetlands too. There's different buffer zones, and you have to get the DEP's approval, and you have to. And I'm sure, as part of the planning board process, you guys review the wetlands delineation surveys and all the buffers, so you make sure that everything is complied with and approved before you even consider it any further, right?
We don't physically do that. The engineering firms that we're involved with are the ones that would make the point of the green spaces and the wetlands and all of that.
Okay. All right. So I guess a lot of there could be situations that you've had in the past where on paper somebody wants to build a warehouse or a commercial building. It meets all the requirements, the stormwater drainage, the environmental requirements, but there still could be some disagreement because maybe the public says, you know what, we want more open space. We don't want another building here. So you could have, I'm sure in your career in planning, there's been situations that have arisen where there has been something that's certainly doable, but there might be disagreement between the public and different members about whether it's good to do it or not to do it based on, some people want open space and less development. So that's something, I guess, that comes up.
Well, some of the things that do come up, for example, now there's new legislation regarding square footage on the roof for solar panels.
We just had last Sunday, we just interviewed, and I think I shared with you that interview. We just had that's basically revenue from the sun, where now that commercial flat roofs, you typically 30,000 or more square feet, they're eligible for the solar panels, and the solar panels supply third party energy to a community, and the landlord can charge the solar panel company rent, for the roof. So it's like a win-win for everyone.
Well, that's an area where that the legislation is also evolving.
Interesting.
Because about 6 or 7 years ago, we used to urge anybody who wanted to come before us with a large storage facility that they pre-set up the structure of the roof to be able to accept solar panels.
Mm.
Now there's legislation that New Jersey's passed that require solar panels, but not on all roofs. And so it might be like a suggestion from the planning board.
Make it more green. There you go. So you kind of balance that. That leads to like the challenges of how do you balance the two needs for the people that want green and the people that want responsible development. But that's like that's a nice way, because if you put something in, but you make it palatable and you take away the fossil fuel generation, use the energy from the sun, you're kind of balancing the interests.
Yeah.
Of course, the warehouse itself is obviously creating more because of the trucks that come in and use it, but nevertheless.
Yeah, but then it's creating jobs. So there's there's a whole lot of things that go into the whole consideration, right? The employment and things. It's quite a lot to consider. Yeah. So that's something that's really the balancing act is very important.
You have to wait. And the other thing that people should be aware of, and a lot of times it comes up, this happened and nobody told me.
Yeah,
well, the applicants are only required to give notice publicly 200-foot landowners.
Okay. So, what do you mean, 200 feet away from the
property line?
Okay. Yeah.
So you make an imaginary line. I guess the engineers would do it.
And they do certified notice how? By certified mail?
Certified mail.
Okay.
And they send it out. So there may be somebody in a development that's 700 feet away from something that might impact them. But they're not obligated by law to get noticed of it.
But I'm sorry to interrupt, but also, even if they don't get noticed, the zoning meetings, what's going to be on the agenda, that's published on the website, right? So planning and zoning. So anybody, any resident, can, if they want to keep abreast, they can just go to the website and check.
Well, yeah, check, but that. It's so, sort of like, so if you don't know about it, how do you know to look?
Yeah, okay. But
so they come in and justifiably they're mad or they're upset or irate.
Right.
But the fact is that the board, you can't get, we have no control over that. The law is 200 feet. And so if the applicant complied with all of the legalities, the application is considered legitimate.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, Steve, thank you so.
How do people the citizen get involved to apply the position to be part of the zoning board?
Okay.
The planning board.
Yeah.
The planning board is a mayoral appointment. Oh.
The planning board. Okay.
So if anybody wants to try to apply to be a member on the open of the planning board, they're certainly welcome. I don't wish a whole tyrant, an avalanche of people, going to the mayor's office and asking, because I think that would probably be ill-advised. But nevertheless, that's, the general public, and the mayor is the one who makes that decision.
Okay.
I want
a lot of people, a lot of listeners, they want to be part of the community. So just want to explain the process.
Yeah. So reach out to your mayor, and find out more information. Well, Steve, thank you so much. We're out of time. We're going to have you come back next week. We want to talk about your role as the zoning chairperson.
Okay.
You're welcome. All right. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks, everyone. Have a good rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.